committee will come to order. It's April 23rd, 1985. The time is 8:38. Today we have House Bill 140, an act relating to teleconferencing under the Administrative Procedure Act. And with that, I guess I'm going to call Peter to testify to the changes that have been made in the Rules Committee substitute and the reason for them. Okay. Peter, if you give us your name and who you work for the record.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Peter Freilich. I'm Assistant Attorney General of the Department of Law. And I was the drafter of this bill in its original version, and have worked with several committees in the House who have revised it. Most recently, I worked with Mr. Barrier and Chairman Mike Miller of the Judiciary Committee, and Chairman Boucher of the Special Committee on Telecommunications, as well as Representative Bloomberg, to revise what was the final version, the House Finance version, to respond to some concerns that were raised, I believe, on the day that this bill was scheduled for previous floor action, concerning separation of powers, the effect of a couple provisions in the bill on the legislative branch, particularly whether it would create the option that the option to teleconference floor sessions of the House and Senate, which the previous language would have allowed, although not mandated, and also whether regulations that were authorized by the bill to be adopted by the Commissioner of Administration would govern the use of teleconferencing by the legislature, committees of the legislature, and so on. As I understand, those were the two primary concerns. Those are dealt with by, I think you have a memorandum from me to the committee staff listing the five changes between the House Finance version and this proposed rules CS. The first two are the changes that respond to the two concerns I just mentioned. Adding an exception for meetings of either house of the legislature and deleting the regulation language. All of those changes both occur to section two of the bill. Several other changes were suggested by Mr. Barrier of Legislative Affairs. Well, actually, the third change, I guess, was suggested by the municipality of Juneau concerning a deletion of the requirement that notices of all public meetings require mention of the general topics to be considered at that meeting. That was considered a possibly dangerous burden on agencies. Another ground for a technical challenge of their actions and so on. So that's the third change in my list. The last two I think, more less substantive and more form, and are the suggestions of Mr. Barrier. And I guess having listed them in this memorandum, I just respond to any questions that anybody might have.
Okay. First of all, could we have a motion to adopt the rule substitute so we can have it before us for discussion?
So motion, Mr. Chairman.
Is there objection? Hearing no objections, adopted the rule of the committee substitute. Any questions? Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, I see the point that they're getting in the bottom of page one on the committee substitute. But in reference to that, should we also revote and perhaps clarify? We said all meetings of the legislative body, and that seemed to be saying yes, they will, and then down here we're saying accept. But then also in the original bill, when we go from line 21 and 22, we said including subordinate units. So I was worried there that, sure, we have HES committee and this committee, judiciary and so on, participating in teleconference, which has to be. But would someone extend that also as a subunit, party caucuses, or minority caucuses, or things like that? See, what down here we're saying, while I'm on that, Mr. Chairman, we're saying, except for meetings of the House of the legislature, should we not say the body of the legislature, which clearly says maybe both Senate or House?
I'm not sure. I think maybe Mr. Berry would be better able to answer that.
Mr. Berry?
No, you do not want to make it a meeting of the body. A meeting of the House uncapitalized, means either the House or Senate, and has a well-defined meaning and rules, statutes, etc. House okay. Is the word you will use.
Then in reference, Mr. Berry, to that on the top part, I can go either way, it don't matter, but I want to be sure, because some feel that party caucuses or coalition caucuses should be allowed to have the privacies. And by the first part of section 310A, when we're saying legislative body and subunits.
Chairman. Sure. On that, the question is whether this won't affect the question of whether a party caucus may or may not be private. There has been some debate about that, and in a holding that wasn't directly relevant, our Supreme Court has expressly said that they may be. But this will not change that.
Good one. Okay.
Representative Gutierrez.
Yeah, I think when we're talking about the other things here, Representative Martin, we're talking about those that have been established by either policy or by statute, and of course there's no mention of caucus in either the policy or statute.
Yep. Yeah, I can see where we can read that, Mr. Chairman, and I just want to have it clear that someone, to me, as I mentioned, don't mind, but maybe some feel the caucuses should be private, and suddenly we find ourselves with opening it up. Right. So as long as you're all satisfied, no, hang on.
Chairman, what I mean by policy is it's not the uniform rules in reference to
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just handed a note here. I've made an omittance. I'd like to call the roll for the record. In attendance is Representative Martin, Representative Davis, Representative Penelberry, Representative Gustadorf, and myself, Representative Miller. Are there any further questions? Representative Davis?
A question on page 3 of rules. And I just perhaps curiosity on why we deleted it is to provide the broadest input and dissemination of information practical. Is there a reason for that deletion?
Mr. Chairman, that was a suggestion of Mr. Barrier, and he's here to speak to that, but as I understand it, it was simply a policy statement. It's that in the section of the statute that lists the policies on which the open meeting statutes are based. And so the feeling that it was unnecessary to state that policy and that it could possibly provide some grounds for challenges of actions. In other words, if there wasn't the broadest possible dissemination of information regarding a particular meeting that was teleconferenced, that perhaps somebody might point at that statement and say you violated that policy statement, therefore your action at that meeting was invalid, something like that.
Sure. If I may add a comment, remember here you're dealing not only with the type meetings we're used to, but you're dealing with things like adjudicating meetings. For example, a border commission has a right to have has under the Administrative Act hearing that's required as an adjudicating hearing. You could definitely, with this broad language that's virtually meaningless, leave more substantial grounds to challenge the adjudicating hearings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for matters of clarification, when we're talking about line 27 and 28, we have a broad understanding of who can have open meetings or who should have open meetings. And then does this also mean who will have access to teleconferences? Oh, I'm sorry, page 1. We're still in that section 310A.
Chairman, as I understand the question, we're talking about the language in the Open Meetings Act that's not amended by this bill. This bill doesn't have anything to do with access to the particular means of accomplishing teleconference. For example, the legislative network or any other equipment. It's non-specific in that regard.
Because that was part of our problem now with the lawsuit. And as I see this, it seemed to me that the MX Missile Group can say, hey, we're a nonprofit organization. We have received some monies from God knows where and government agencies, and therefore we demand to use the teleconference network to express our concerns and receive information from people.
Mr. Chairman, the bill only affects state agencies.
But it says anyone
creates options. Doesn't create any rights to demand facilities.
Okay. If you're clear on that, or it says, or in part, receive or authorized to spend public monies. We have an awful lot of nonprofit organizations with that or. So, and that's partly what the what the current lawsuit is dependent upon now. I forget the issue, nuclear armament or whatever.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that the litigation that we're talking about is concerning access to the network. Mm-hmm. But that's a totally separate matter from this bill, which merely creates the option. It essentially clarifies that any agency that's required to conduct an open meeting can do so by teleconferencing. It doesn't create any rights mandate that a state agency use a particular facility or network. It doesn't say you have to use the teleconference operator from Alaskan or the legislative network. It merely creates options.
Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Peter, this is, I realize we're kind of straying from this piece of legislation just a little bit, and maybe you could bear with me on this question, but it came up, and as long as we're on the subject, I'd like to ask it. And that's regarding just the use of teleconferences. I noted on page 3, it talks about teleconferencing. And you may not know this, but in our rules right now, and maybe Bill can answer it, what is the policy or the law now as far as making a quorum in our committees? If we have one person hooked in by teleconferences, can that person qualify as a quorum?
Chairman. As far as meeting legislative bodies by teleconference, I've for many years given the opinion that's presently authorized.
Okay.
If you have a meeting, let's say with this committee that requires a quorum of 4, 2 of you are physically present here, 2 of you are present in Anchorage, by teleconference, you have a quorum.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Any further questions? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion to move the bill out of committee.
I move we pass out House Bill 140 rules with individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The meeting is adjourned at 8:52. Thank you.
Committee.
Hey, my God, you're moving along, Mike.